The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome. Welcome, everybody, to Happy Hour. I was reflecting the other day that sometimes in my Dharma teaching and here at Happy Hour, I often like to say, well, just do step one, do step two, do step three, and then everything is fine. Like this idea that maybe we can just fix things if we just follow the directions. That works for some things, but it doesn't work for everything. And maybe this idea that we have to fix it, even the whole premise of that fixing is what's needed, maybe that's not the right premise all the time. Maybe there's a time or occasions or situations in which fixing is just perpetuating kind of what's underlying or what might be fueling the perceived problem. But what about this idea of just letting it be? Letting it be. Turns out not to be so easy. Sometimes we want to feel like, you know, we have agency and we are doing something and we want to feel effective and we don't want to feel powerless. But sometimes this idea of letting it be. So to kind of put this into, or to express it, I'd like to read a poem by one of my favorite poets, Rosemary Traumer, and it's called Letting It Be. And it goes like this. There is a carpenter in me with an impressive tool belt. She thinks she can fix everything. Every time there's a leak in the ducts, she blames that darn condensation and whips out her metallic tape. And when there's a heartbreak, she mumbles something about not meeting code, then takes note of all the cracks, all the places where it's falling apart, and gets to work, cleans up and preps new concrete to hold things together. I know she's doing what she knows best. I know she has good intentions. But today, while she runs off to seek just the right hammer, just the right nails, I take those leaky ducts and that broken heart into the garden and dig potatoes. The soil is cool and slips soft through my fingers as I sift for yellow fingerlings and red-skinned Desirees. There is a gardener in me who doesn't try to fix anything. She says in a quiet southern drawl, sweet thing, bring all that brokenness here and let it walk amongst the sunflowers. Let it weed the carrots and pick some calendula bouquets. And nothing gets fixed, but something shifts as I sit beside unruly mint, its green spears rampant, its scent so cooling, so sweet. There is a gardener in me who doesn't try to fix anything. She says in a quiet southern drawl, sweet thing, bring all that brokenness here and let it walk amongst the sunflowers. Let it weed the carrots and pick some calendula bouquets. But nothing gets fixed, but something shifts as I sit beside unruly mint, its green spears rampant, its scent so cooling, so sweet. I appreciate sweet thyme. Thank you, Sharon. Help me with my Southern drawl. I don't know how to speak with a Southern accent. Yeah, I appreciate very much that Rosemary Traumer, she's saying she has both a carpenter and a gardener. Maybe sometimes a carpenter is needed. Maybe sometimes a gardener is needed. And part of the wisdom is to know when, right? When a gardener and when a carpenter. Maybe when to do absolutely nothing. Not even a gardener or a carpenter. But loving kindness practice is a way that helps us to maybe soften our hearts and help to increase our capacity to be with these broken ducks, or leaking, I think she calls them like leaking ducks. Increase our capacity to be with tears, to be with the sadness, and to recognize, oh, I'm just going to go out in the garden. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to watch some birds. I'm going to look at the flowers in my neighbor's yard, whatever it might be. So maybe some loving kindness practice helps us to increase our capacity, but also loving kindness can help plant the seed for equanimity. Equanimity, this idea of having a balance and seeing the big picture, so we don't have this compulsion, this really compelling drive that we have to go fix it and make it different, but instead can hold it. Can hold whatever it is that's uncomfortable. So maybe with that as an introduction, we'll do some meditation. Taking an alert, upright posture. Just settling in. What does it feel like to have a body right now? Sometimes it's helpful to start with the sensations that are obvious. The feeling of the chair or cushion against the body, feeling the pressure. And maybe the experience of breathing is obvious. Feeling the movement of the chest or the abdomen with the in-breaths and out-breaths. And when the mind wanders, we don't have to make it a problem. We just very simply, gently begin again. Feeling the expansion and contraction, the breath. Maybe there's a stretching sense of tautness. Feeling the movement, the experience of breathing. Not so much thinking about breathing, but experiencing breathing. We can always come back to this practice, mindfulness of breathing. If for whatever reason, loving kindness practice doesn't feel like it's the right practice, or some overwhelm happens, or for whatever reason, just coming back to the breath. It's always available. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being. Somebody for whom it's easy and complicated to have warm-hearted feelings, warm-heartedness. Have some care, some respect, kindness, love. Bringing this lovable being to mind. Whether the lovable being is somebody you know, maybe somebody you don't know directly, but has touched your life, an author, a teacher, a mentor, a coach. Or maybe a cat or a dog, a furry member of the family. Perhaps even an imaginary kittens, puppies, dogs, kittens, puppies, babies. Bringing them to mind, the lovable being. And to support our cultivating loving kindness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing yourself to connect with the lovable being, allowing yourself to be nourished by that connection, supported. And then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. the carpenter and the gardener within ourselves. All the different aspects of ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we extend some warm-heartedness to ourselves? All aspects of ourselves. There is a carpenter in me with an impressive tool belt. She thinks she can fix everything. Every time there's a leak in the ducts, she blames that darn condensation and whips out her metallic tape. And when there's a heartbreak, she mumbles something about not meeting code, then takes note of all the cracks, all the places where it's falling apart, and gets to work. Cleans up and preps new concrete to hold things together. I know she's doing what she knows best. I know she has good intentions. But today, while she runs off to seek just the right hammer, just the right nails, I take those leaky ducts and that broken heart into the garden and dig potatoes. The soil is cool and slips soft through my fingers as I sift for yellow fingerlings and red skin Desirees. There was a gardener in me who doesn't try to fix anything. She says in a quiet southern drawl, "Sweet thing, bring all that brokenness here and let it walk amongst the sunflowers. Let it weed the carrots and pick some calendula bouquets. And nothing gets fixed, but something shifts as I sit beside unruly mint, its green spears rampant, its scent so cooling, so sweet." What would it be like to take care of both the carpenter and the gardener? Within us. Part of when to know whether a carpenter or a gardener is used is a little bit to have some equanimity that could help us see the bigger picture. You do equanimity practice. One of the wonderful things about these practices is even though we may do them directed towards a particular individual, we may find that it's the experience isn't limited to that particular individual. So bring to mind somebody that you care about, and that is a little bit bothersome sometimes, a little bit irksome. For equanimity, we can say this phrase: I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness. And I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. What does it feel like to have equanimity? That is, to recognize that others make their own decisions. In some ways, we don't have to fix them. Can we turn some of that equanimity around for ourselves? Maybe we don't have to fix ourselves. Maybe we're perfectly fine just the way we are. It's a different orientation to think about not fixing, or to consider not fixing. but instead, you know, to appreciate and to work with what is, allowing what is, not in the sense that we have to accept social injustice or racism, oppression, any of these terrible things, but to, can we accept the experience we're having at that moment, the experience at that moment, because that's the truth of the moment. We are having that experience, whether it's a thought or an uncomfortable knee or a mind that's drifting all over. Is there a way that we can put down the hammer and nails and instead have some openness or have some go gardening, feeling the soil through our fingers? So it can be helpful to talk about these ideas with others, this notion of maybe we don't have to fix everything all the time. Maybe we don't have to fix ourselves. Maybe the way to fix, quote unquote, is to just let it be. I'm kind of like pointing towards our relationship to what's happening. Can we shift our relationship that then allows maybe a more open heart, more openness in general? So I'm going to put you in some breakout rooms. You'll be in groups of three or four. And we'll be in there for about 14 minutes or so. And have an opportunity to talk about this idea of letting it be, maybe not fixing it, or the idea of there's an inner carpenter and an inner gardener, or maybe you would use different things, an inner quilter, and an inner plumber or something like this. But, or you could just talk about how that experience was, or that meditation. Okay, so in the breakout rooms, it's good not to say everything you know about a topic and then let it go to the next person, but instead just say one thing, not everything you know, and then let it go to the next person. And they say one thing, everybody's listening. Then it goes to another person. They say one thing, everybody's listening. And then it comes back around. You say something else. So it doesn't start as a normal conversation. It's kind of contrived. Not kind of, it is contrived. But it's an opportunity that allows all the introverts an opportunity to say something. And so that we don't feel like you have to say your whole life story or something like this at the beginning. So if it's helpful, you can go in the order of the digit of the last digit of your phone number. We'll say 0 comes before 1. Okay, here we go. Welcome back, Abraham Vimal.
You are now in the main session.
Welcome back, everybody. Does anybody have a comment or a question, something they'd like to share? How was that in the breakout group? This idea of carpenters and gardeners. Yes, Jamie. Can you unmute yourself, please?
No, if the pandemic goes on long enough, I might learn to do that without being prompted. In our breakout group of two, we got on the topic of forgiveness. Of, you know, feeling the need to, you know, forgive those who maybe had been a carpenter when we needed a gardener or vice versa. I ran out of time to make the last point, but, you know, the thing that occurred to me is As I understand this heart practice, we don't really need to understand or even know the person who's the object of our loving kindness. But our experience with the people in our past, especially parents, is that empathy seemed like a precursor to compassion. And it was when we started to understand their lives and take a look at some of the things they had been through that we started to notice compassion in ourselves. So I don't know. Sorry for the long-winded comment, but what else should we be thinking about forgiveness? How else can we apply this practice to forgiveness?
Yeah, there's a lot there. And maybe it's worthwhile to like do a whole series on forgiveness, but maybe one approach one can consider, and maybe you've already done this, Jamie, but you haven't even said it, is this idea of just like me, this person was trying to make sense of their life. Just like me, have had difficulties in their life or whatever it might be, to kind of connect the common humanity, and that often can help. I think I've done a forgiveness series. If you really want to look into this, I've done a number of happy hours on forgiveness. I think I made a series of them on Audio Dharma. Okay, so we're 1 minute past the hour here, but my fellow carpenters and gardeners, it's nice to see you all. And maybe we can unmute and say goodbye in a kind of unruly way. So goodbye and thank you.
Bye, Trudy.
Bye.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, Neil.
Bye, Barbara. Bye. Practice.
Bye, Anna. Bye.